Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome into a brand new episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall. And I'm joined, as always, by a man who's always feeling a draft. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you?
I'm feeling a draft, mostly because I don't wear underpants.
Oh. That was not where I was going with this. It's the draft night.
Oh, the baseball draft. I know less about that than the feelings in my nethers.
It's probably a good thing. You should be aware of what's going on down there.
Intimate. Yeah, of course. Got to be in tune with your own body. Yeah. That's what I say.
So last week, obviously, we were off power cord issues. If you were wondering, like, is it really all that it takes to derail this podcast? Was a frayed power cord? Yeah. And the answer is yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. This is a shoestring operation, friends.
But I got myself on Prime, found myself a knockoff MacBook charger, and we're good to go. Do you know that the new ones cost $80? I'm not paying $80 for one. That's absurd.
You don't look like the man. You don't look like the type of man who would spend $80 on anything.
Shoes, maybe. But yeah. I digress. So everyone by now has heard that Shane Green and Nicholas Castellanos have started their own podcast. Eric, have you listened to it yet?
I did. I listened to the whole thing today.
How was it? I haven't yet.
I thought it was tremendous. You know, nothing too earth-shaking. And, of course, they can't get too controversial, you know, because I think it's kind of screened by management. But it really did a good job of showing that these are real human beings. And, yeah, they get paid a lot. And, yeah, it's in a high exposure industry. But they're just people, right? And I think that that humanizing factor is helpful for us fans to – you know, keep the vitriol down a little bit.
Absolutely.
And so I thought it was tremendous. And Nick especially kind of carried it. Shane's fine too, but Nick had the pep, I would say.
I gotta be honest with you, I was surprised. Castellanos in no way surprised me, but that Shane Green was the co-host, that surprised me a little bit. There's several other guys that maybe I would have thought of ahead of him. Just from maybe having a little bit more personality or whatever. But yeah, I'll have to get on that. Was it all baseball? They venture into life topics?
A little bit of life. I mean, it's funny because Nick mostly, he framed it as having very idealistic, you know, peace and harmony kind of themes. Especially toward the end, he's talking about, you know, oh, we can really connect as fans and just for the betterment of humankind and this kind of thing. I mean, these aren't exact quotes, but good for him. But also I thought it's still a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we do it too, but we keep that more low key, obviously.
One of these days we're going to solve all of mankind's problems.
Now, did they talk about crap that they saw on the side of the road while running, or were they just angry yelling kind of at the sky? Was there any of that in there?
See, the interesting thing about their podcast is they're professional baseball players, so they can just talk about what they do, and it's interesting.
Okay.
Like, they don't need to resort to gimmickry. Like, they can just talk about what they talked about on the bus ride or on the plane, and that's kind of interesting news.
Okay.
Unlike what we do.
All right, just making sure we didn't need any like cease and desist letters to be sent out.
Well, from us to them. I'm waiting for Nick to try to get his name back.
We have
because there can be some market confusion here, right?
We have a question about that. Let's not jump into that too soon. In the Twitter questions that comes up,
we're going to sprinkle podcast content into the remainder of this.
Yeah, about 90% of the questions from this week's Twitter questions are either about the their podcast or about the Rally Goose. So be prepared for that.
50-50. Here we go.
So anyway, this brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who from the Tigers or baseball world would you most like to see start a podcast?
You know, I saw Curtis Granderson back in town. I always like Curtis Granderson. I think he's got interesting takes on things. Another guy I always liked was Placido Polanco.
Okay.
I always like to hear what he had to say. I don't know. I don't want guys like Torrey Hunter, who are kind of the cliched talker. You know, Torrey Hunter could easily sit behind a desk for some MLB show and nobody would think anything of it. Like, I don't need any more of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Who do you think?
So I have my answer, but then just in the process of you talking about Polanco, it made me think how great a Jim Leland and Carlos Guillen podcast would be, because you wouldn't be able to understand a word from either of them. That would be great.
No, that would be great.
But my original answer, I would like to hear a turf care and maybe like weather reporting podcast from one Heather Nabosny. I think that would be the best bet.
You'd get all your horticultural information.
I think that's the first time either of us have ever used the word horticulturalist on this show, which surprises me. We're both into the nature and the greenery.
Green Dr. Green Thumb.
So we have a big announcement. Actually, there's two big announcements. This is the first of the big announcements. June 16th, mark your calendars. It is the first annual, we're calling it the Mega Podcast Meetup.
That means you guys, because I'm seeing this stuff online. I have it on my calendar, but I'm like going to this thing. I have no idea what's happening. So tell me, what is happening?
So not you, Eric. If you, the listeners, have ever wanted to meet us, Eric and I, or Hookslide, or Raj and Chris from the Sports Radio Detroit Tigers podcast, we will all be there. I believe we are recording a little something-something. The Whitecaps are taking on the Dayton Dragons. I'm told that 100% chance that Hunter Green will be pitching that day. So we'll get to see him. Okay. Asterisk being that I have not in any way been told that. That's just what I'm hoping for. Come on out and support the Whitecaps and say hello to us. We'd love to meet the faces behind the people that tweet us questions and whatnot. That would be cool. Kind of the first ever thing like this that we're doing. First time that we're showing our faces in public. We both have semi-regular faces, so I don't think there'll be too awfully much in the way of surprises.
I don't think so. It's baseball and collegiality.
Yeah, I've been told that there will be some free swag for us. So
really?
I have not been told that. But you know, if you
get our boys at the Whitecaps, hook us up. Let's go. Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Some hot picks from my from our weekend trip down to Indianapolis. Some zoo picks, naturally. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. If you want to email the show, if you don't have Twitter and you want to send us questions, it's podcastianos@gmail.com. We would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform listening to the show on. And here is the other big announcement. Eric, we are running a World Cup contest. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
So here's the deal. It is a prediction game. It looks like 7 categories. You will type in your predictions and email it to podcastianos@gmail.com. And the winner will receive a signed Jeff Coburnus baseball, collected by yours truly at spring training. I don't know.
Jeff Coburnus.
Five, six,
seven. He's got some love on this show. We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So that's the prize. Okay. Here are the categories. And then Eric and I, of course, will be playing too. There's a couple weeks before the World Cup starts, so we'll announce this week and then next week. But here are the categories. Semifinalists, teams. So there should be four teams in that. The finalists, which there should be two teams in that, and then the winner. So that would just be who does very well in the tournament. The Golden Boot, which would be the top scorer, total amount scored by said Golden Boot winner. The breakout player, which will be judged by me, so that's not necessarily like a subjective, it's a very subjective thing. And then tweet your bold prediction, and then the closest bold prediction will obviously get the point. So yeah, that will be fun. We'll both be watching a lot of the World Cup. I'm sure a lot of you guys will be too. So email your predictions to podcastianos@gmail.com. And then
my four are Netherlands.
Nope, you can't. Oh, okay.
Netherlands, Italy, US, and India.
India?
That's who I got. They got a lot of people there.
It's true. So does China.
God, okay. Yeah, we'll play the World Cup game, and I'll try a little bit.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
Oh, it's my turn. Jordan told me, since he was away, I get to do the big boy job and introduce the topics and keep things moving. And you can make the snide remarks, Jordan. All right.
I've been waiting for this for years.
I know. We're going to talk about the Tigers. This is our main Tiger section, and we cannot get any further without talking about the Rally Goose. Hashtag Rally Goose. This was a couple games ago. In the actual incident, there was a rain delay. A Canada Goose, not to be confused with the Canadian Goose.
Wait,
a Canada Goose.
Are you serious? There's two different things there?
The correct terminology is Canada Goose.
Okay. So it's the same bird. It's just the other. Yeah. Canadian is incorrect. Okay.
Don't call it by. Yeah. It's like, if somebody called you Jordan or something. That's not right. It's right. It's a Canada Goose.
It's like spelling my name with an O.
Right. It's wrong. Correct. Anyway, so there was a goose on the field. The grounds crew proceeded to chase the goose around and got it enough to fly away, and it hit the scoreboard. The goose plummeted, from what I understand, into the crowd, where it just so happened a part-time veterinarian captured the goose and held it until proper measures were taken to remove the goose from the ballpark. So did you happen to catch the actual goose incident?
Oh yeah, it was without a doubt the most fun I've had watching baseball in years. I mean, it probably since all nine for Romine. It is definitely the most interesting thing that's happened on a baseball field this season.
Is it sad that it wasn't actual baseball? It was a goose. Okay. No.
So here's the thing. I was legit nervous when it smacked the scoreboard flush. Like, it dropped. It was a, you remember Terry Tate, office linebacker back in the day?
Oh, how can I forget?
It was like that. It ran into the sign and just boom. I'm like, well, that duck's dead. Also, I don't have a firm grasp on the difference between ducks and geese. I later learned that it was, in fact, a goose. I was happy to see that it kind of just picked itself back up. But yeah, it was fun. It was a wild ride. Like, you just didn't know how that thing was going to end.
Right. It was a wild goose chase, wasn't it?
I have to say, you were absolutely on fire that night. Like, I've seen you get punny before, but it was just a never-ending stream of, and I got to be honest with you, I don't necessarily like puns, but all of yours were quality that night. I was impressed.
I was having fun with it. Why not? It's a goose on the field. If you can't call it Gandalario, what good is it?
Yeah, what was the other one? The other one was the one that really impressed me.
Oh, man.
It was, I don't know. I don't remember. Obviously, it impressed me so much that I remember it a week later.
So not only did the goose incident happen, they sweep the goose, the play resumes, and boom, right after the goose, we score four runs and we win that game. The next two games, we also win under the power of the Rally Goose. This has become a thing. And it roughly divides into two camps. The "this is fun, let's make t-shirts and make puns" crowd and the "I'm already annoyed with the stupid goose" crowd. Where do you fall, and what's the rationale for the two crowds?
I mean, I think you know where I fall. Obviously, I am always in the "let's make t-shirts and have as much fun about it as we possibly can" camp.
Samesies.
I understand, like, you know, some people, I feel like this is what it comes down to. Some people like to have fun and some people don't. If you don't want to have fun, that's fine. I don't care. Do what you want. But also don't rain on my parade. Something abnormal happened. Something that captured my imagination. What harm is it? Baseball is a 162 game slog. Like, it is tough. Honestly, even as a fan, it's tough. Like, we watch a lot of games, and these last couple of years, a lot of bad games. Mm-hmm. Let us live it up a little when there's a goose on the field. I mean,
we talk even before the season that we hope something wacky happens, an animal runs onto the field, and we got exactly that.
Like, and way that makes more so than we could have ever asked for, too.
It's perfect. Yes. Now, the poo-poo crowd is going right to Gum Time. Remember Gum Time with Nate Robinson? And he actually appeared on a broadcast. And then the Zubaz thing, which was the main comparable villain in our narrative here. They said, "Oh, the Zubaz was fun, but then, you know, it was a mess and we lost." I feel like the Zubaz was a little different competitive environment.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. The Gum Time thing, like, I really didn't like Nate Robertson. So I was, from the very start, I was annoyed by Gum Time. And it kind of reminds me of the rally goggles from, was it last year or the year before? Like, that became a real big thing for a while, you know, the goggles on.
Yeah.
These things have a shelf life. Like, obviously, that we're going to get to a point where, like, holy crap, just let's stop with the goose. But, I mean, I feel like we're still in the honeymoon period.
Sure. And interestingly enough, the goose, the Rally Goose, was part of actually a bigger run of good play. We had won, before today's festivities, 8 out of 11 games. We've been playing pretty well. What do you make of our team? Are they on an upward curve? Are we competitive, or is this an anomaly?
First of all, it's an anomaly. But I actually looked up – I wanted to quote this tweet. I saw this a couple days ago. But Jed, our buddy from across the pond, he tweeted, "Nothing sums up baseball more to me than a bunch of essentially average players playing way above their abilities simply because they put a plastic goose in the dugout."
Hey,
whatever works. That sums it up so perfectly. But no, we are a I feel like, you know, we obviously have done very, very well recently. But the month prior to that, we were 500 or slightly below every week. I believe that is more where we're at. But we're a young, excitable, energetic team that is occasionally going to have a little, you know, surges like these. Do I think that it could be followed by a reciprocal downslide? Yes, absolutely. And quite frankly, we're already starting to see that, unfortunately, at the expense of my beloved Drew Verhagen. But, you know, this is the season that we knew we were getting in for. It was a young team. We're developing. And all of a sudden, you know, just enjoy the upswing when it happens, and remember that when we've lost 6 of 8 and there's been some terrible base running gaffes. I mean, that's what it comes down to this year.
I listened to Nick and Shane's podcast, and it reinforced to me a couple things that I usually poo-poo. You know, in this sabermetric era, we think about somebody's ability, we look at the numbers, and we think, oh, you know, there's not too much vulnerability, and at age X, a guy will do X with certain track records, and you can just kind of pencil these things in. But hearing these guys talk a little bit, it maybe pushed me a little more in the direction of how do individuals handle expectations, and a little bit on chemistry. I'm not going to be chemistry guy. I mean, they were Rod and Craig were talking about chemistry on one of the broadcasts, and I about barfed because
I
thought
it
was
ridiculous.
Real
intelligent, yeah.
Ugh, it was just so frustrating. But listening to Castellanos and Green nudged me a little bit more in the direction. Expectations, first of all, that has a ton to do with it. Our previous 3-4 Tigers teams, they were expected to win the Central, and they were expected to win for compete for a World Series, and everybody was a little clenched because they needed to do that. This team is not clenched. They are young and wild and free, right? And they, in fact, brought up an article at the beginning, you know, this team not expected to do anything. Well, you could have picked it about any article. I don't think it was a vendetta. But, and the truth of the matter is, they had the first pick in the draft. They were the worst team in baseball this year. And that comparison to low expectations to what you're able to do just creates a whole new atmosphere. And that leads me to the next point, and that is chemistry. You don't have a lot of high-powered egos. For all the good things that Kinsler and Verlander can do for you, they don't seem like the most chill guys,
if that makes sense. Yep.
So maybe there is a little bit more relaxed clubhouse atmosphere. And maybe, yes, your boy Gardenhire has something to do with that too, compared to Ausmus. They're different personalities, right?
Wait, so do you actually think that Gardenhire is my boy in this situation? Because he absolutely is not. When I made the point about that he's inspiring all these comebacks, that was entirely sarcastic. I don't actually believe that. Neither here nor there. Continue.
You can't sarcastify your comments now. I take them as literal. Don't get me wrong with this little rant. I'm still not buying that this team is exceptionally good and talented. But I will buy a little bit of this counterbalance, right?
I think what it comes down to is when you're having more fun on a day-in, day-out basis, you're going to perform better at whatever you're doing. Like, I don't necessarily think that's a stretch. You know, is it...
They did use the F word, yeah.
Is it everything? No, absolutely not. There's still talent. There's still circumstance that goes into it. But being a little looser, being enjoying your circumstances a little more, like I can't see how there isn't a connection there. And even if it's, you know, they talk about marginal gains. You know, that is a marginal gain.
Speaking of chemistry and a new attitude a little bit, there is kind of this next man up mentality with this team. There are a lot of role players and minor guys are expected to contribute. So I just made a little list of guys here, and maybe we can talk about each of them who over the last week or two chipped in, who contributed.
These are my guys. I can't wait to.
These are your guys. How about Hicks?
Yeah.
Hicks had, you know, he got in that two strike count, hit that little single over the middle a couple games ago to essentially win the game for him.
Yeah, Hicks is your ideal bench piece. He can play first. He can play catcher. He's got some power. There is a little bit more of an approach there than I think a lot of people give him credit for. He is somebody that when Miggy goes on the DL, he is the type of guy that can, he's not going to be great, but he will keep you skipping along, without too much missing a beat. And that's exactly what he's done. He hasn't set the world on fire, but like you say, I mean, he directly contributed to that win.
Ronnie Rodriguez, El Foligno, our rapping second baseman, infielder, has been called up. His first game, he went two or three hits.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, contributed right off the bat. A lot of energy, a unique stance. You loving Ronnie so far?
Yes, I like Ronnie. Do I recognize that he maybe is of limited ability? Yes. That hasn't stopped me in the past. I want to go all in on Ronnie. I'm going to need to see him a little bit more, but so far so good. I mean, once again, he directly contributed to another win. That's the thing with all these guys. Like, they're not, you know, high war guys. They're not guys. If they were, they would be in the lineup regularly. If they can directly help you win one game, like, that's kind of a really good return from them.
Ronnie looks like a very high energy guy. He's going to hustle. He's going to almost to a fault, a lot of energy. Who else we got? Blaine, our boy Blaine Hardy. Another solid start. Is he a starter now?
I don't know. How do you take him out of the rotation pitching like this? You have to. All right, I'm going to say this, and I'm only going to say this once. Everyone knows I love Blaine. I did not have expectations anywhere near this, and I'm not sure about the staying power of this. He is pitching so incredibly well. Yeah. You cannot take him out of the rotation, and there is a little part of me that wonders, maybe, just maybe, this is legit, and I want it so bad.
It looks like spit, grit, and gumption, though, doesn't it?
That's Blaine Hardy. He got to the major leagues doing that. He's carved out a however long career doing that.
Said that about Boyd too, where it's touch, spit, grit, gumption, want to, pitchability, whatever you want to say. But he's been all right too.
And Blaine doesn't have bad stuff. Like, he doesn't overpower you with any of his stuff. Maybe it's a step beneath, and I say maybe it is a step beneath Boyd's stuff. But you know, he has the feel, and when he's hitting spots, I was going to say he's as good as anyone. Let's not get carried away now. he is certainly serviceable, and he's 2 of 3 quality starts. And even way more than that if you go back to Toledo.
Yep. So we talked about Blaine. Lewis Coleman just pitching some serviceable innings.
Here's the thing that pisses me off about Lewis Coleman. I went all in on Bobby Parnell. I went all in on Lucas Harrell. All these rando guys that I saw pitch, and I thought to myself, Barbato, another guy. And then the one I don't, Lewis Coleman, is the one that actually sticks. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad that Lewis is pitching well, but it pisses me off that I called everyone else and not him, and he's the one that made it happen.
It's a little early, yeah. So,
he's good. I like him a lot. Yeah.
So we went from guys you really wanted to like. Now we're going to go to maybe the other end of the spectrum, and that is your boy Victor Reyes, who you and I have kind of
dogged. And literally everyone else. I think Victor Reyes' mom is subtweeting him, saying how terrible he is.
And in this past week, he's played a little bit more and contributed some. He hit a triple. He's gotten a few more triples.
Yeah.
Two triples.
To be fair, the one triple was when the outfielder dove for the ball. He had no chance of getting, and it went by him. Still, a triple's a triple.
So you're not on the Victor Reyes train yet.
He's so bad. He's terrible.
He's athletic. He's big frame.
Great in batting
practice. Looks good in batting practice.
I would love to be wrong, but I'm not. I'm not wrong.
You're doubling down.
None of us are
doubling down on Reyes being bad.
I do think at this point he's going to finish the year with us. So
I think he's going to too. He's made it this far, and they haven't. They haven't wavered on him at all, I don't think.
I feel like he is the very definition of – I use the word wolf a lot. He's the very definition of my phrasing of wolf.
He's going to play like once a week for the rest of the year, or twice a week maybe.
Let's go with once.
Not a bit player, but one other player of note, Cabrera is back.
He is?
And – You worry about his health and about his strength and everything, but the dude can still hit, right? Put him in the batter's box, boom, hits the ball, right? So he's a good piece to have there in the middle. Okay.
Can I bring up one more player before we move on to not bit part players? Nico has been really, really good. Like, I'm almost to the point where I've convinced myself that Nico could be an everyday player. I'm not quite there yet. He is the best second baseman we have on the roster right now. I mean, we've loved Dixon over the course of this show's run. Dixon is lost right now. If we're putting out the best lineup we could to win a game tomorrow, Nico would start at second base.
Yeah, but his defense at second. I mean,
he's not a good defender anywhere. Don't get me wrong there.
Right.
He plays everywhere. He's good nowhere.
Okay.
But
that's fair. He's a good piece to have. I'm glad he's on the team.
The very first thing I told you about him, he has a quick bat. He has a quick bat, and he's quick himself. I like Nico. I want him to play. He essentially has been playing every day. I don't see why we don't keep that run going.
You're noticing a theme between the two of us, with the exception of Victor Reyes. We really like people. We like everybody. Generally happy, except you, Victor Reyes. Poor guy. You know it's bad if we don't like you. Oh, man. Speaking of things we don't like and are bad, let's talk about the AL Central.
Let's.
The whole division is just awful. Coming into today, we were 2.5 games. Oh, my goodness. An iguana just jumped on Jordan's microphone.
That's and exactly
slapped
right.
him across the face. That was amazing. Commotion. Anyway, the AL Central sucks. I ran a Twitter poll today because I can do such a thing. And I asked, are the Tigers going to spend any time in first place in the AL Central? And the results came back. You want to guess how many people, what percentage of people think said, yeah, I think they're going to spend at least a day in first place?
I'm going to go 45.
45 yes or 45 no?
45 yes.
38% of people thought, yes, the Tigers would spend at least one day in first in the AL Central. So you're pretty close. Who, I mean, it's June 4. I mean, what are the chances we would talk about the Tigers in first place at all? And it's due to this division being bad. What's your take on this?
Yeah, division? Absolutely. I think we're easing ever so slightly into the category where maybe we're not automatic sellers. I mean, we're a million miles from being buyers. Don't get me wrong. But the Cleveland. I genuinely do believe that Cleveland is due a run. They got hot a little bit in the last, 10 days or so. I think a legit Cleveland. I mean, in the last couple of years, they have gone on these massive runs where they just bury the entire division. And I do think that's coming. They have some pitchers that are hurt. You know, Salazar is still to come back, some other guys. But none of the other teams in the division are any good whatsoever.
That really is the big piece that surprises me the most. And since we play these teams a disproportionate amount of time, I think that's helped us out. But the Twins, Royals, and White Sox are genuinely bad.
Yeah. I mean, if another team spends a day in first place in this division, it will be us. Like, if it's anyone other than Cleveland, it's going to be us, which...
It's insane to talk about.
Yeah.
We were the worst team in baseball last year. See, and we got worse personnel.
Here's the thing. If I would have told you, or if I'd asked you on opening day, what percentage chance is there that we win the division? What would you have said?
I would have given it 1%, a 0.5% chance.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely right there with you. There is a legit non-zero chance that we win the division. It's not more than 5 or 10%, but it is not zero where it was when we started this season. And that has to be a step in the right direction, I guess.
In fact, Dan Siborski, who runs the Zips projections, I had a little fun kind of looking at that. And how many decimal places did you need to go before you had a chance to see the Tigers percent to win the World Series or whatever? And I think it was like 3 decimal places out. Like, I'd go back to that and I wonder what it is now. It has to have, our chances have to have doubled from like 0.003 to 0.006, I would say, for sure.
At least.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, moving right along. The draft, the MLB draft was this evening, which you may or may not know. In the NFL, you have the draft, and you've had all these college players who you've seen on television, and your favorite NFL team gets to select them and maybe plug a hole, and within a matter of months, you're seeing them on the screen. On your screen, for your team, the NFL draft is exciting. The MLB draft is something different altogether. Right. So tell me, Jordan, what is it? What, if anything, can we be excited about the MLB draft, or should the league not even try? What's the nature of the MLB draft? Are you excited?
Well, they clearly aren't trying. Did you see Rob Manfred running the draft tonight?
No, I didn't watch it.
It is the most pain. I watched the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 picks. It was on my phone because I don't get the MLB.
Did we take Mize?
We did take Mize. We did take Mize. But it was the most painful experience of TV watching possible. Like, they, it was so boring and so long and so terrible. It's just, you know, baseball just does things differently. Like, baseball works on its own time frame. Football, like you say, you know, if you take somebody in the spring, you'll see them in the fall. Like, it just doesn't work that way. You know, clearly baseball has a marketing problem. You know, Mike Trout could walk down the street in most cities and nobody would say anything. And he's the greatest player probably ever.
Maybe ever.
Maybe ever. So clearly there is some marketing deficiency there. There are things that they could do to make this more of an event. But I really don't think that I guess I don't know how many neutral or non-diehard fans that you're going to make this appeal to. Your general baseball fans don't care who the Tigers are going to have possibly come up in 3 years or whatever. Right.
That's the main problem with the MLB draft is the delayed gratification factor of it. Like, the guys you take and the names that you see may not be with a big league club for 4 years.
And they legitimately may never be. Like, that is a realistic right. option also.
Yeah. You know, they showed the draft from 5 years ago, and Mike Judge was the only name in the first round I recognized. And that was a draft from 5 years ago. It was not Mike Judge, Aaron Judge. You know what I mean?
I do. I'll
put them together.
Out,
you will not.
I will not.
The Yankees guys are smushed together. Aaron Judge. Anyway, so the draft is kind of a downer for me. Having said that, are you excited about Casey Mize?
I am. So here's the thing. I know nothing about him or literally any other player in the draft. I have been told by people smarter and more informed than I am that he is the best player in the draft, and we now have him. That is essentially all I can contribute on the draft. Now, I don't know. I don't watch college baseball.
There was some talk, you know, there is this thing called slot money, mm-hmm. right, where you have a certain pool of money allocated for you to sign your picks, and each relative pick has a slot value assigned. So if you save money on your one guy, you can maybe spend more money later to get better quality people later. And so there was some thinking about maybe you go to a lesser player, a Joey Bart or a Jared Kelenic or whatever, one of these other guys, and try to sign them cheaper to get other guys. Ultimately, it looks like the Tigers just tried their best negotiating with Mize and move forward. I think that's the play, especially with the first overall pick. But yeah, I don't want to get too much in the weeds.
I feel like you're getting too cute if you try and set yourself up for maybe success later. What if nobody, of yeah. relative value falls to you? It just feels, take the sure thing. This kid is clearly a big leaguer.
Take your shot.
Whether he is awesome or not, I don't know, but this dude's clearly going to pitch at the big league level. Just grab him, put him in the system, and see what happens.
Yep. That's it for the draft. We'll see once over the next couple of days when they go all 40 rounds what names we see, if there's anybody to talk about. But it's so hard to learn and parse out who these guys are. Like you say, and half of them we don't get to know, and another half of them we'll never see. So sorry, but it's a real human experience for these guys. It's an exciting time. I know a couple of guys who've gotten drafted. I mean, it's a neat experience. So good luck to all you draftees out there.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Moving along to our normal features of the week. This is the usual time where Jordan prompts me to start the beef of the week. But since I am running the show this week, I'm going to turn it over to Jordan first. Jordan, did you see anything alongside the road whilst you were running?
I did. I have a very, very quick one, and then we can move on because we have a lot of Twitter questions. I saw a doobie on the side of the road.
Really? Real marijuana?
Real marijuana that appeared to have been smoked. Not by me, but by somebody else.
I feel like that's kind of a precious thing. Like, people wouldn't just leave that around, do they? Or is it just, you know, so ubiquitous now that you can just... I'm not big into marijuana culture.
Maybe they finished? I'm not either. We probably
aren't
sound...
you supposed to, like, do the whole thing?
I don't know. My biggest concern was, are they going to start a forest fire? I kind of envisioned Smokey coming out and just shaking his head at them.
Bob Marley is somewhere frowning at us right now our lack of knowledge about marijuana.
This probably isn't the only reason he'd be frowning at us, though, to be fair.
Yeah, everything's going to be all right, Bob. Okay, moving along to my beef of the week. So over the weekend, I had... I don't want to call them parties. They're get-togethers. You know, it's like a backyard grill-out barbecue.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
I don't want to go be... You're welcome anytime. Only when I call you.
Of course.
So this was a place of mixed ages. There were teens and children and older people. And I don't want to get too crack on millennials, but... there was a distinct difference in the picking up of the plates and cans. Okay. So everybody gets a paper plate, you know, they're with their burger and their stuff and a fork, and you can grab a can of pop out of the ice chest and you enjoy your evening. What do you do when you're done eating?
I throw the crap away.
You find a garbage can and you put it away. Like, this is common human being stuff. Am I wrong? No.
No.
But we're cleaning up afterwards and there is plates and forks just scattered hither and yon. Pick up your plate with your potato salad leavings on it and throw it in the garbage. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's also not that hard to kill, you know, to not kill restaurant chains and to bankrupt yourself in avocado toast. And clearly we have problems with those things also.
I sound so old. I'm just going to leave my plate out with the rest of the millennials, leave it on the porch. Somebody's mom can pick it up.
How do you define millennial? Would you consider me a millennial?
I don't know. You're borderline, I guess. I consider myself kind of squarely Gen X. So I kind of in that in between. I don't know. Everybody's got a different definition. Yeah, I guess I'd call you a millennial. Do you feel you are?
I would say no. I feel like I have far more of the traditional.
Upbringing. You're culturally not.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. My jeans fit appropriately. You know, all those kind of things.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, let's move on to Twitter. Are you done ranting?
Oh, I could go longer. It's not worth it. It's not healthy.
All right, let's move on to Twitter questions. We have a lot of them, and most of them have to do with the rally goose. So here we go. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos on Twitter. Or you can email us, podcastianos@gmail.com.
Terrific.
All right, the first one comes in from Renee at HolbackR. She asks, who has had the bigger impact on the Tigers, the Rally Goose or Anthony Ghost?
Anthony Goose. Ghost did. I mean, because he was a human. And the Goose is a waterfowl.
I think you could make the case that the Rally Goose has inspired more victories than Anthony Ghost did. And I don't think it's that close.
So the Blue Jays were in town, and of course we saw Devin Travis, who was hitting a low average. If you could undo that trade, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. I don't know how good Devin Travis actually is, but we do know how good Anthony Ghost actually isn't. So, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Next one, Troy Falk, at Johnny Red Beans asks, said, "Hey Pat, hey at podcast, you know, just found you, found the show and enjoying it. In episode 75, you talked about sports celebrity doppelgangers. You may be a little young for this one, but what about Mikey Matuk and Boner Stabine from Growing Pains? You guys had a little conversation about this."
This is a deep reach, way back in the memory bank. But after I Googled it, oh yeah, I remember that. And it's a pretty good comparison, you know, the kind of the deep set eyes and kind of a, can I say Italian? Kind of an Italian countenance.
So, this character's name is Boner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Different time.
They got away with it then. Yeah.
All right. JC, not Jay-Z. J and then just C is his first initial. Don't want any confusion.
He the New Testament. Yeah, gotcha.
Yes. If the rally goose wears his hat inside out, does it cancel out the rally?
That's a good question, but geese wear bonnets. Haven't you seen a children's book?
I have.
Geese are always wearing bonnets.
Touché.
For sure. Yeah, if you wear your bonnet inside out, it cancels it out, though. Yeah, for sure.
The next two appear to be 619 podcast related. Evan Ken 95 asks us, how do you plan on competing with 619?
We're going to cower in a corner in fear. I don't know.
Sabotage was the thing that came to mind.
These are like real big league players. We're two dopes with laptops. It's pretty tough.
And quite frankly, only one of us had a laptop last week.
One of us has we have one functional power cord between us. Mm.
So to compete, we're not going to compete with them. I feel like we have very different niches. Their niche is like credibility, and I'm not exactly sure what ours is, but.
We included the word boner already in this podcast.
I bet you they don't say that at any point.
Nope.
Adam Langworthy asks us, are you guys going to try to fight Green and Castellanos to attempt to establish your podcast dominance?
They're professional athletes. They would kick our butts.
They certainly would.
Kick mine.
I'm in pretty good shape. I don't. So who would you take and who would I take? I mean, this is clearly, a 2-on-2. Yeah, it's all about individual battles, obviously.
I'm a lover, not a fighter, man. I don't know.
I don't. I
guess I would get Nick though. Green looks lanky, and I think you could take him.
All right. So we're taking a definite loss against Castellanos so that I have a chance to beat Shane Green. Okay. That seems fair.
Harsh but fair. Okay.
Michael Litzner asks us, will we ever see Victor Martinez dropped in the batting order?
No.
I think we will. Gardy has shown far more willingness to adjust things than I would have ever guessed from him. Yeah. So I think there's actually a chance that we might.
And I tweeted about that. Like, it took an act of Congress to get Ausmus to change anything. And Gardenhire, we'll put Castellanos first. Oh, yeah, we'll move, Candelario first against lefties and move Martin down and do all these things. And like, oh, home, not a big deal.
And I thought
it's a different team, but
I thought it was really interesting because it looked in spring training like it was going to take, as you say, an act of Congress to get Candelario up into the two spot. And, you know, that turned out,
Gary's more careful with the veterans, though. I think Victor's there for a while.
And I'm going to let you in on a little bit of a secret here, Michael. We're probably not going to win the division, even if we do move him down. I don't know that it really matters. It's
Victor's
his last year.
Ego probably means more than our record, and I know nobody wants to hear that, but that's probably the truth.
Yep, I'd 100% agree with that. Ashley McCrandall asked us, it was reported that Nick Castellanos wants to stay with Detroit through the rebuild. Is this smart, even though he could potentially have a lot of trade value?
It is smart. I think they should re-sign Castellanos. And on the podcast, there's some interesting stuff where he talked about kind of his family in Michigan. And I get a sense of kind of he really loved Detroit, like authentically. And it wasn't just the normal butt kissing, because that's a team that I play for. It seemed to be kind of legitimate affection for Detroit. That doesn't mean you're going to get a hometown discount. But for a team like ours, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it, you need good young players. Is Castellanos good?
Yes.
Yes. Is he young?
Yes-ish.
Yes-ish. You sign him. I think you try to keep him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's some inherent extra value in seeing a guy that you drafted, a guy you developed, run out. And I think we as Tigers fans appreciate that maybe a little bit more than bringing
in. We dumped all this money on Jordan Zimmermann. I mean, why can't we dump some money on our boy Nick? I know the days are fewer and far between where you're going to have those guys, but he's worth it.
Yeah, he is a really good player. He's better at this point in his career than I maybe thought he had in him.
He's looked surprisingly at home and right.
True. Speaking of Zimmermann, Jeremy Troya asks us extra most bestest pizza question. It's starting to look like Jordan Zimmermann will never be fully healthy nor meaningfully contribute again. I am surprisingly okay with this. His contract is a sunk cost, and it gives room in the rotation for the younger guys.
The good news here is you don't really have a decision to make. I mean, what decisions are you going to make? If he's healthy, you pitch him, and if he's not healthy, you don't.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. So that's a good point.
I mean, he's going to have to suck for a long time yet before you cut him, and he's going to have to be good for a long time before you can trade him. And we're in neither extreme. So you let Office Space style, you let the process work itself out. There's nothing you can do.
Yep, absolutely. Our buddy Jacob Skronik asks, seeing as Nicholas and Shane are potential trade pieces, who would be other potential replacements for the 619 podcast?
Daniel Stumpf. I don't know.
I think Norris.
I like his southern accent, Texas accent. Or
Norris
whatever.
Is the obvious choice.
Norris is the obvious choice.
I could see. The thing is, McCann.
Leonis Martin, because he never shuts up.
That's true. McCann would be he would be a good talker. I'm not sure that he would make an interesting podcast.
No. He's articulate but relatively boring.
Joe. I want to hear Joe. I would be very interested to hear what Joe would want to talk about. And by that, I know what Joe would want to talk about.
Himself?
Okay, there's two more questions in here. What have you two learned about podcasting and media usage from your roles as hosts?
Nothing. I have learned nothing. I don't know. Have you learned anything?
That is I'm sure I have. Nothing comes to mind off the top of my head. I don't know. Like, for better or worse, you and I have kind of become influencers. People respond to what we say. I think there's a certain responsibility to not waste people's time by just tweeting out all the dumb random crap that comes into my mind. Do I still do that? Yes, but I do it maybe less than I feel like I could. And to not, I don't know, like I feel like we try and bring a little bit of positivity when in a occasionally negative space. That is Tigers Twitter media or whatever. I don't know. I guess.
I tweet a lot less bawdy and kind of rough stuff than I used to. I've sanitized it quite a bit. That's about the only change in made learning I've done.
You've matured, yeah. And also, this is a three-parter.
Twitter, anyway.
Who are you pulling for in the World Cup? It looks like he is rooting for Poland, South Korea, and Denmark.
Sweden. I have no teams left. England, just because I know some of the guys from England, I guess.
All right.
Sweden. I don't know. Who else is there to be excited about? Egypt?
Egypt, yeah. See, I'm a United fan. Everyone knows that. But I love Mo Salah. He is one of my all-time favorite players to watch. He is just so cool. Like, he is a cool, cool dude. I hope he plays. I hope he plays well. I hope Egypt goes a long way. I'm rooting for Germany because I got some German roots and I just like watching them play. And I'll be rooting for France a little because of Paul Pogba, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll be rooting against England because I like listening to the English press go nuts when they do poorly.
They're bad. Yeah.
All right. Matt Tuttle. This was actually my college roommate. Oh,
tender moment.
Why does Jordan have weird man crushes on Hardy and Drew Verhagen?
You want to take this one?
I do. Matt, you actually should know this, why I like Blaine Hardy, because Blaine Hardy is the grown-up, accomplished version of me. He obviously does things much better than I did. Left-hander, always seen as a reliever, but pictures himself as a starter, has to grind. Blaine obviously did it, is doing it to a much higher level. And I don't necessarily have a weird man crush on Verhagen. I just, everyone thinks he's so bad, and I think he is less bad than everyone thinks. That is the Verhagen love right there.
Listen, Jordan, for your sake, I really am trying to like Verhagen. But the results are making it very difficult.
Did you watch the game today?
Yes.
He wasn't good. He was great through three innings.
For a while, he was great, yes.
He was great through three innings. Obviously, there is more to baseball than the first three innings. But he was great for three innings, and there has to be a use for that. I'm not saying that I know all the Verhagen answers, but the arm is too good to be getting no return out of. I don't know what the situation is. Maybe it's an Andrew Miller type role.
He and Buck Farmer have the same disease, don't they?
Yes, they absolutely do.
They have the stuff but questionable results disease. Yeah.
Yeah.
Inconsistency.
Inconsistency is good. Okay, we have a lot more. All right, we're just going to buzz through these. John Fine 2 asks us, are we living in a universe where Blaine Hardy is a trade chip?
No.
All right, I tend to agree. Bradley Moyer asks us,
sorry, John.
What would Green and Nick have to do, have to offer in order to get the Podcastianos name right?
All right, let's be real about this. It wouldn't be much.
No, but it would, for me, it would be an experience. Like,
it would, yeah.
Meet them, go on the field, like I, something like that. Don't get me wrong, I don't think they're going to be coming calling, but it would be something that I would want to take a lot of pictures of. Something like that.
And it's also Nicholas's name. It's his name, so we've co-opted it for our purposes. But it doesn't really belong to us.
It kind of does at this point. At Nick is cool, not. I'm assuming that's a Borat reference, as I assume everything is. If it's good for the rally goose, is it necessarily good for the rally gander?
Yeah, everybody knows that. It's a very popular expression.
Figured you, of all people, would enjoy that.
Like good goose references.
Brett Yoder asked, who gets bumped from the rotation 2023 when Mize is ready? Fulmer, Burrows, Perez, Manning, or Fieto? This is a serious question that must be answered right now.
Wow. Well, he makes a good point. When you do take stock of our young arms, it is hopeful, right? You'd think you can find a smattering of quality there. Yes.
Yes. I mean, we have, but if you add Funkhauser into this group, we have six semi-legit pitching prospects. I think you can count on half of them panning out, as we would say. Yep. In which case, you have three good starting pitchers. I like.
But if you got two starters, a quality reliever and a contributor out of that gang, that would be above average. I mean, unfortunately, given the numbers, you expect a couple of them to flame out. That's just how the numbers work.
And so now that we have six of them, that's kind of okay.
You just stockpile them and hope.
David Nowoszewski wants us to do World Cup predictions, Final Four, Golden Boot. We actually covered that with the contest. Well, we haven't covered ours yet. We'll do it a couple weeks from now. But don't forget to email all those things into podcastianos@gmail.com. And one last one from Jeff Morford at High OPS. What concession item at Comerica is most likely to start a sandwich debate?
Some type of Euro. I don't know. They sell Euros. Is Euro a sandwich? Or is it a taco?
I think it's a taco. But that clearly is what would be. There's a smattering of international flair in the food choices at Comerica.
I did have the shawarma nachos.
What did you think of them?
They were delicious.
They're so good. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. facebook.com/podcastianos. And we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, you did a fantastic job with the planning and the show running. You were like a magnificent point guard leading us through this full court press that is podcasting.
I'm an undersized grinder. That's all I can want, all I can try for, all heart and hustle.
So gritty.
that's what it's about.
Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
No. Enjoy the rally goose while you can, because it's migrating out of the area very quickly. Let's be real.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and we should do like fly away, Tigers fly away. Is that a thing? Could it be a thing?
Try it one more time. Say it again.
Fly away, Tigers fly away.
Maybe.
Just say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.